Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Bites for Kids. This is your host, Suzanne Lorenz, and today I'm going to be speaking with children's author Penelope. I can't talk today. Sorry. Penelope Ann Cole. I've had Penelope on the show before, but gosh, it's been a while, hasn't it, Penelope? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's been a while. I'm glad to be on your show.
Yeah, it's been a while. And you've been really busy since we last talked. Now, before we get into your current books and stuff, for people who haven't heard your interview with me before, don't know who you are, maybe they are just finding out about children's books and stuff. Tell us a little bit about your background. For example, you know, what led you to become a children's writer, and what steps did you take to make it happen?
Well, like many people, I'm an English lit major, a lifelong reader, and I've actually been a writer since fifth grade, but I didn't do much with writing. I love a good story, and I found that children's literature makes me feel good about life, so I wanted to share that feel-goodness with children. I'm also a parent and a teacher, and I want kids to be inspired to do good things, help each other, and make the world a better place. So that's a little bit of the background. But the first story idea I got in 2011 when my neighbor's son Matthew turned 10, and we were saying, ooh, double digits, how magical. So I got this story idea to give him magical powers. And then that was the first book in my magical series, Magical Matthew. So I just sat down and wrote the story out when I got home. Matthew discovered that he had magical powers to fix things. He keeps it a secret. I gave him some problems and obstacles, which he mostly overcame. And then in the end, I took his magic away. But in a rewrite, I decided on a surprise ending, and I gave his little sister, Mia, magic, and that became my second book, Magical Mia. She's a little trickster and has to learn, how to use her magic for good. And I also found my artist, through an online search, Kevin Collier. He did a great job, so I basically continued with him. Then he helped me find my publisher, Guardian Angel Publishing. But now I'm publishing under my own imprint, Magical Bookworks. So then I got, ideas for the other books.
So now you've got a whole series of magical books, and today we're kind of talking about the last three in the series, or not the last three, the latest three, because I'm sure you'll probably have more. The first one today is called Magical Mia Goes to School, then Magical Max and Magical Mickey, then Magical Max and Magical Mickey's Big Surprise. So, gosh, this series just keeps expanding. So tell us about these. When did you write them? And then are they all out now?
I kind of just kept barreling on with the idea. In Magical Mia Goes to School, I felt that it seemed appropriate for her big brother to want to teach her and mentor her and guide her. And she's, she's still a little bit feisty, a little bit of a trickster, and she, she has to go to school. She has to learn to do everything that, second graders learn to do. But he wants to teach her after school how to use her magic secretly, and so she comes up with all kinds of ways to get out of those lessons. But in the end, he makes it fun for her, and then there's my, surprise ending at the end. In book four, the gimmick or where I take their magic away when they lose their last baby tooth, Mia and Matt will lose their magic, but then their family has late in life twin baby brothers, and then we're watching them, Max and Mickey, to see if they will have magic. The surprise at the end of this book is quite a doozy, so I had a lot of fun with that one. And then in the last book, or the fifth book, I'm not sure I'll write more, Magical Max and Magical Mickey's Big Surprise. Max and Mickey are 9, and they know they're going to be losing their magic because their older brother and sister did and, you know, prepared them for that. But they're trying to make a special graduation gift surprise, and they want to finish it, you know, before they lose their magic, so it's kind of a race against time. And then there's a really big surprise at the end.
Wow, okay. Yeah, well, gosh, it sounds like you have a lot of fun doing these. I know you've been really busy, too. Before we go into, I'm going to ask you some things about how you write, like what your typical writing day is, but I want people to, who are listening, they might want to go to your website and see more about the books there, because these aren't the only books you have, either. You've got some other books, and even some we'll talk about a little bit. I think you've won some awards and things for some of these books. Didn't you win something for What's for Dinner?
Yes, I just recently won a literary class, a children's literary classic seal of approval for What's for Dinner. That's a picture book that was inspired about my daughter's having trouble with food. She's invited to her Nigerian friend's house for dinner, and she's afraid she won't eat their food because it's foreign. So I think that's a good book for kids who, you know, have trouble, you know, tasting foods and trying different foods. Of course, we're now much more international than when I wrote that story, so maybe everyone's used to all kinds of strange foods. But that's a good picture book. And then I also have one that came out recently for the younger set, more for the kinder and first grade, and that's In and Out, All Roundabout, Opposite Friends. It's about two kids, their mothers were friends, and the two kids meet, and they're opposites. We're not sure the boy and girl are going to get along, but then they fuss and fight, and they push and they pull, but in the end, they keep their friendship. I like that story because it's got a lot of rhyming and opposites, and the artwork by Aggie Wilson is, you know, gorgeous. So that's another one that has won an award. They all win awards, and I should have had a list of them, but they won awards from Creative Child Magazine and then, you know, literary classics. I love literary classics. My Halloween book, 10 Little Tricksters, got a gold medal last year. So that's for pre-K, kinder, even first grade. I did some school visits, and it's a fun reverse counting chanting book, and Kevin Collier put in some really great little howling creatures that the kids just love.
Well, wow, you've been really busy. So I know people are dying to find out when you're writing all these books about, you know, a series and then different things, what's a typical writing day like for you?
Well, I thought about that. I know some authors set aside, you know, 2 hours in the morning or 4 hours in the evening to write, and I haven't really been able to do that. I've been doing some teaching and tutoring, and writing is just, it happens when it happens. So I get all ideas all the time. Sometimes I'm out walking, or, you know, you get some ideas when you're dreaming, writing in the car, teaching, gardening, even watching TV and shopping, I've gotten ideas. So then I have to, you know, hurry back to my computer and write the idea down, and then I can work on it when I have a little more time later. Usually I spend my mornings on social media, trying to catch up with the world, and then I'm able to write more in the afternoons and evenings when I'm not tutoring. I like to have classical music on when I'm writing, and sometimes late at night I might have a TV show on, and they're generally reruns. So I write or edit, you know, when I have this kind of, you know, background noise kind of thing. I ended up moving my writing desk into the living room. It was in the office, but the office kind of filled up with junk. And then I like being in the center of the house, you know, where I can look around at my paintings and pictures, and look out the window and be by my, you know, I've got two cats and a dog, and they keep me company too.
Wow, that sounds really fun. It sounds like you have a lot of fun writing, too. I mean, just, you know, being in your own home where you're comfortable with your pets and where you can look out the window and that kind of thing. I like the fact, kind of, though, that you said you didn't have so many hours a day that you write. You just make sure that you're always receptive to new ideas and you write them down. And then, you know, later you can maybe hone them into a story or a book. So I think that's, you know, a good thing. Most people don't really see during the day all the ideas that are out there that kind of come to them. They just let them, you know, pass them by. So that's really, I think that's a special talent when you can do that, see all those ideas. So that's great. Well,
thank you.
Even though you like writing and you have fun doing it, which is wonderful, I know there's still difficult parts about writing. So tell us some of the difficult parts of writing for children.
Well, I like to write stories that I like to read. But sometimes it's hard to find the right reading level for the story. I might think that it's, you know, oh, it's just great for third grade. And then I find out that the third graders are reading at fourth and fifth grade level. So then, you know, the level of the story goes down to first and second grade. And then I'm not sure about the words that I'm using. I don't want to dumb down any stories. So I try to use words that are natural, not, you know, limit myself to, well, did you get the 25 word list or the 100, you know, sight words and that kind of thing. So it's, I write the story for the level that I want the kids to be able to read at, and if some of the words they don't know, they're unfamiliar, then they're just going to have to figure it out. I don't want it to be too simple. I want it to be a little bit of a challenge. So that's kind of one problem, is finding the right reading level. And the other problem I have is children's dialogue. It was a lot easier when my daughter was younger because, you know, I just hear kids talking all the time. But now I tutor, and I can hang out with the younger kids and try to get their speech right. I don't want it to be a grown-up sounding like a kid. I want it to be authentic child's voice.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. I would think to some degree finding the reading level, you know, when you're writing about a fourth grade child, something they do, you've got to kind of keep it within that level, maybe within a few grade levels. Although, like you said, probably fourth graders are reading above reading level, but then you've got some that are reading below. So, yeah, that's an interesting challenge right there. Well, then, on the flip side, what do you enjoy most about writing for children?
Because I love to read to kids, I want to write the kind of stories that I like to read. So I like my stories to be fun and uplifting. I want them to be about trust and loyalty, friendship, kindness, sharing, caring, and the importance of family bonds. So that's so far what my stories are about. One of my favorite authors writes the Penderwick series, Miss Birdsall, and I've totally forgotten her first name, but I love that series. It's all about the family and the adventures that the kids get into, and there are adventures all around. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, make up a whole different world. Kids can have adventures in everyday life. So that's kind of what I'm aiming for, that, you know, that level of writing.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have problem, though, getting the actual plot line in place, you know, of what's all going to happen? I mean, you get ideas, you said, from things that happen in your life, but then a lot of times people can't take things that happen in real life and then turn them into a story. You know, they don't understand how you've got to have the conflict and the rising action and the climax and then what, you know, the resolution, that kind of thing. Do you ever have trouble kind of blending it all into all that kind of stuff?
I usually don't have too much trouble with the shorter stories. They seem to, you know, lend themselves to, you know, maybe one or two problems that have to be solved, and then, you know, I like my surprise at the end. But I have some middle grade books that I'm working on, and it's much, much harder because you're sustaining the action over, 100 pages or more. So yeah, mm-hmm. I do have problems with the middle grade ones, and that's one of my goals this summer is to work on that. I kind of soak up all the, you should do this, or you should try this, or what about this, or have you looked at this? So I'm mm-hmm. constantly, learning and trying to improve my craft in that way.
Yeah, that's always good. That's fun to do if you really like to write. So that's wonderful you're doing it. Well, a few minutes ago, I heard you mention something about school visits. So you do make school visits. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you do at your school visits? What's a typical school visit or school presentation like?
I've had several kinds of school visits, but the classroom visits are the ones that are the most fun because it's a smaller group, and the kids mm-hmm. are right up close and personal. I really like the small groups. So last year I did several with my Halloween book, and mm-hmm. what I do is I reintroduce myself, of course, and I talk about being an author. I read one of my stories, and I'll answer whatever questions they have. I show them the other books that I've written, and I tell them where I get my ideas and encourage them to write their own stories and get their own ideas. They usually have a lot of questions, and that makes it really fun when it's interactive like that. Mm-hmm. I've done other visits where on literacy night, where it's to the kids and the parents, and that's a little bit harder, but it's the same sort of thing where I will tell them about how I got my ideas, and then read one story, and always encourage them to write. I mean, you never know who's going to be the next great author, and mm-hmm. I think the younger you start, the better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking at your website right now. I wanted to give people that URL again. It's just your name, Penelope Ann Cole, COLE.com. So it's pretty easy to find your site. But I'm looking on here. If people want to talk to you about doing a school visit or even, a summer camp or visit, something like that, where do they go on the website to get more information about that? Or do they just email you?
Well, there should be a contact form, but they certainly can email me if they want to. I'm on Facebook, and they can contact me that way, too.
Okay.
I'm also registered with Skype. I haven't had any Skype visits, but I'm hoping that will expand next year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you that, if you did Skype visits. I know Margo Fink, I don't know if you know her, but she does a lot of Skype visits with kids and really has fun doing those. And that's so much fun nowadays because a lot of schools either can't afford an in-person visit or the author can't go where they are for some reason, it's too far or whatever. So I think you'll enjoy this and have a lot of fun with those as well. So tell us a little bit, too. I know the last few weeks or so, but you were somewhere at a book festival or something with your book. Seems like you were really busy. So people are always interested in the marketing process for authors. So tell us a little bit about that event and what other kind of things do you do to market and sell your books?
Well, I participated for the first time in a huge book festival. It was the second annual Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley, California. It was two full days, 8 hours a day, booths Ooh. Set up in the park that was, a children's park. And then all over Berkeley, they had, nine streets blocked off for all kinds of other books. I was just in the children's area. And that was something I'm not sure I'll do that again because it was really exhausting. But I did meet a lot of parents, some teachers, and lots of kids. what I love is when the kids will grab their parents' arm and drag them over, you know, to look at my book. So that's very, very uplifting. Of course, mm-hmm. every author is promoting their books on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and our websites and Goodreads and Amazon and I do all that, but I attended a California Writers Club group meeting last night and got a booklet on even more marketing ideas, so I'm hoping to expand that. I'm really fortunate that I live close to a small town that has a free second Saturday art and music walk downtown Campbell, and every month mm-hmm. I get to sit on the sidewalk and show my books, and so that's, you know, that's really nice to be out there in the open air with, you know, people who are just enjoying their Saturday, and I have some regulars who will come by and say, okay, what's new this month, and that's always appreciated. I'm listed mm-hmm. on the SCBWI, Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators website, and as I said, I belong to two California Writers Club groups, and we have some book sales and signings, and of course, I do any holiday fairs that I can do. So, you know, as a as your own publisher, your published author, any author that's with a small publisher or on their own, they really have to reach out and find their audience. I also contact schools. When it comes time for August, I'll be contacting all of the local schools to let the teachers know that I do school visits.
Well, that's a great idea. Do you do that mail or by phone or what?
I do it by email. I used to go around and hand out information in person, and then I found that the school secretaries will file it in case anyone asks. They have it all in the file. But I like to reach out directly to the teachers. Their emails are often listed on the school's websites, and I've been a substitute teacher for years, so you know I kind of know how it works, and that's how I got my school visits last year, was by direct contact.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea, because you're right. I could see the school secretaries and people, you know, taking the information, glad to give it to anybody if they asked, but really, what could they do with it? They can't make sure every teacher gets a copy unless they, you know, make copies or whatever. So how neat to just email the teachers directly. So that's a great idea, great for anyone listening.
I've had a couple of book launches also, and I've contacted principals, and some of the school principals have forwarded that information to their teachers. So principals are very busy, so that's kind of iffy to contact them. But if you write directly to the teacher, and they're open to the idea, most teachers would like an author visit. It does work.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to remind people, too, that speaking of online publication or marketing things, that you're going to be in the at the National Writing for Children Center next week, and then that's going to start off your five-day blog tour that we are sponsoring at the National Writing for Children Center for you and your book. So if people will go to writingforchildrencenter.com, on Monday, you'll see the start of Penelope's tour, and you can find out where there'll be more information all next week about her book. So it's really kind of fun to follow an author on their book tour for 5 days and see the five different posts that are different topics for each of those posts and things about their books and their writing and just more information than we can give here on the radio show. So I think that'll be fun. So, gosh, tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now, or have you had a chance to even catch your breath after the book festival and everything else going on?
Well, I've got a new picture book. I've been working on it for about a year, and I found the right artist. It's called My Grandma's Pink House. It's about growing up and spending time with grandma at her house kind of in the country, in all four seasons, and it's rhyming, so I really love rhyming books. I also have a companion coloring book that will be coming soon with that book. So it'll be My Grandma's Pink House, illustrated by Aggie Wilson, and the companion coloring book illustrated by Rama Dixit. So that's what's coming soon. All my magical books are going to be coming out in Spanish. They're translated. I just have to get them, you know, formatted. And then, of course, like I said, if there's any time left, I'm going to be polishing four middle grade novels that I've been working on for a couple of years.
Oh, goodness. And you still doing tutoring and all this other stuff in between?
Well, I'm taking a big break in the summer. I only have four students in the maybe three students in the summer. So that really helps. I was teaching and tutoring 4 days a week, sometimes five, and it doesn't leave you much time or energy.
Exactly, yeah. Even if you have the time, sometimes you don't have the energy to do it when you've been working all day, you know, or working with the student. So that's amazing. I'm also just amazed at people like you who are really so self-directed and just have all these creative ideas and follow through on them and really, you know, get out there and find the publishers, find the illustrators, or start their own publishing houses. I know you mentioned Aggie Wilson. I think she illustrates some of Margot Fink's books as well. So nice little network you have here. I know Kevin Collier, too, so, and Guardian Angel Press. I've had a lot of their authors on the show. So it's really cool that you get out there and meet all these people and network and just take your creative ideas and bring them to life in your books. So, gosh, we're almost out of time. So let's talk for a minute about, you know, what's your best tip for other people who want to write for children, for aspiring children's book authors?
Well, what I wish I'd done is start young. Read all the good children's books and write every day. Look for inspiration in your daily life and write the stories that you love to read. That's it in a nutshell. But you did mention a lot of important things. You have to be out there. You have to network. I'm blessed with being friends with quite a few authors and illustrators, and you don't feel so alone, right? They say the writing is a very solitary pastime or career occupation, but if authors stay in touch, it's so important to help other authors. And when I go to a meeting and someone says, "Oh, well, we're here to help you," that's what it's all about. You know, if we don't help each other, we're not in the right business.
Yeah. You know, you said something about you wish you had started earlier. And I think that a lot of people, no matter what kind of thing they're doing, if they're older when they start doing it, and older, I just mean they're not a teenager or they're not a child, you know, they think, "Well, I wish I'd started this sooner." But I kind of think, gosh, everything you did before this sort of led up to making it perfect for you to do this now and have fun with it and it not be real difficult. Because think about it, your years as a teacher helped you, you know, learn to write for children because you were familiar with children's books and what children like to read and what children are likely to do, having your own children and neighborhood children, all that kind of stuff. You might not have been as attuned to that.